to Season 6 of the Food for Your Soul podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ. This season of the podcast is devoted to the greatest sermon ever preached, the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus teaches his people about life in the kingdom of God.
Jesus preached in the Sermon on the Mount to his disciples in the hearing of a large crowd designed to be overheard. So the world is listening in here, and I wonder how many people in that crowd already started walking away by the time Jesus got to the third beatitude. I mean, if you just think about what he's covered so far, three sentences out of his mouth, and I bet you the crowd, some of them were drifting off. Those people had been praying all their lives for a military Messiah, not a meek Messiah. In their minds, lowliness, neediness, poverty, mourning, grieving, all that is the problem that the Messiah is supposed to solve. They were not looking for a Messiah to come along and promote that sort of thing. Blessed are the bottom feeders is not a popular message, not then and not now. In fact, I don't know how many preachers I've heard in this particular beatitude, the third one that we're going to look at today, Matthew 5:5, blessed are the meek. I don't know how many times I've heard pastors define meekness as power under control. Have you ever heard that definition for meekness? It's very common. A lot of the commentaries say that. A lot of preachers say that. Power under control. They say this word was used, if you want to know where that comes from, they say this word was used of wild animals that had been tamed. Therefore, it means power under control. It does not mean power under control. It's not any kind of power. I'll explain in just a minute what it does mean, but I just think it's interesting that people want to change what Jesus said to say, blessed are the powerful. This doesn't mean meekness. It really means power. Blessed are the powerful. That's the message that they wanted to hear then. That's the message that we still want to hear now. And people are even now trying to make that be the message. It's not the message that Jesus preached. What he said was, blessed are the meek. Now, let me ask you this. How many character qualities, good, righteous character qualities, did Jesus have when he lived on this earth? All of them. Very good. Very good. All of them. That's exactly right. He had all of the fruit of the Spirit. He had every other virtue that a man could possibly have. But even though Jesus had all those godly characteristics, it wasn't very often that Jesus mentioned them specifically. You don't see a lot of statements where Jesus says, I am wise, or I am faithful, or I have a lot of self-control, or things that sort of thing. But there is one virtue that Jesus did specifically point out about himself. In Matthew 11:29, Jesus said, take my yoke upon me and learn from upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and humble. Of all the hundreds of virtues Jesus could have pointed out in his own character, the one he really wanted to state directly is his meekness. He wanted us to know that he was meek, as if it wouldn't be obvious anyway. Meekness is an especially delightful virtue in the eyes of God. He loves it. He just loves it. 1 Peter 3:4 said it is of great worth in the eyes of God, meekness. Great worth, especially in the heart of a woman. God loves all the virtues, but he doesn't say that about all the virtues. He says that especially about meekness. This is just one he especially loves. And as I said, that's the point of 1 Peter 3, is it's what makes women beautiful. You know how some women, they're kind of attractive from a distance when you first see them, and then you get a little closer and they're not so attractive, and the more you get to know them, the more you get to see their personality. There are other women who are just the opposite. There's something about them, when you start to see their soul, there's just makes them more beautiful and more attractive. 1 Peter 3 tells us what that is. It's meekness that causes that. It's a virtue that's delightful to God, it's attractive to men, and it's the only virtue that Jesus went out of his way to point out that he had. So, what is it? What is meekness? It's not a word we use very often. Crucial that we understand exactly what it is, because it's commanded so many times in Scripture. It's a big deal. It's part of the fruit of the Spirit. It's number 8 in the list in the fruit of the Spirit. Ephesians 4:2, we're commanded to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord in all humility and meekness. In Colossians 3:12, we're commanded to clothe ourselves with humility and meekness. In 1 Timothy 6:11, we're to pursue meekness. In James 3:13, we're to show our good deeds in the meekness of wisdom. Obviously, a very important concept, important thing for us to understand what it is. The Greek word is translated in two different ways in modern Bibles. Sometimes it's translated meek, and most times it's translated gentle. Just gentle, which is a great translation. Both those words really mean the same thing. We're more familiar with the word gentle, so I think I'll just use that. Blessed are the gentle, for they will inherit the earth. It's all about gentleness. And that helps a little bit, getting the word gentle, but still leaves a lot of questions, unanswered questions. For example, what sort of gentleness is Jesus talking about? Because we know this, there's sometimes when gentleness isn't really what's called for. When is it appropriate to be gentle or not gentle? And why is it so important to God? And what about this promise? Inherit the earth? I mean, we already got the heavens in the first beatitude. What do we need the earth for? And what does that even mean, to inherit the earth? Do you get a title deed? Inheriting a planet just seems so far from anything we can relate to in any kind of practical terms. How is that supposed to motivate me to prize gentleness in my life, especially when that's going to cost me something, when it's just such an abstraction, inherit the earth? We need to understand that, because we're going to need a motivation in order to live out this virtue. So let's start. Let's start with gentleness. What is it? What does a gentle person look like? The first thing we need to understand is this is not a natural temperament. Some folks are naturally, assertive and aggressive, and other people are just kind of laid back and gentle by nature. That's not the kind of gentleness that Jesus is talking about here. The virtues on the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, are things that draw people's attention to the glory of God. Remember in Matthew 5:16, in the same way, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. And so these are the kinds of things that draw special attention to God's glory. A natural quietness and introverted personality type does nothing special to cause people to be impressed with the glory of God. Jesus is talking about a very different kind of gentleness, a kind that really does put on display God's glory, shows people God's glory. A naturally quiet temperament is not only does it not do that, it's actually not even necessarily a virtue in and of itself. There's nothing virtuous about having that kind of temperament. Some people are reserved and soft-spoken for all kinds of different reasons. Some of them good, some of them bad. In some cases, it's just a lack of confidence. They're just not bold. They don't want anybody to think ill of them. They don't want anybody to look down on them in any way. And so they just avoid attention altogether. They just rather stay back in the shadows. They don't want to risk being laughed at. And so they just rather go unnoticed. That's not gentleness. That's just pride. Other people are quiet and soft because they're afraid of conflict. They don't want to have any conflict. And on the inside, they might be raging. There's nothing soft at all on the inside, but on the outside, they hide it because they don't want to do anything to get into any kind of uncomfortable social situation. They don't want to avoid conflict. Other people might be this way on the outside because just inability to express themselves. They just don't have the communication skill. They don't know what they've got everything, the turmoil on the inside, but they don't know how to say it on the outside, so they just keep quiet. They don't know how to say it, so they don't say anything. For others, it might be that they've been slammed down so hard, so many times, by so many harsh people, maybe their parents growing up or whoever, that they've just been trained to keep quiet. They're like a whipped puppy, and they're just, none of that is the virtue of gentleness. If you look up all the places in the New Testament where gentleness is described, the most common thread that I saw when I looked them all up is gentleness. The gentle person is non-threatening, safe to be around. Meek are safe. They're just not a threat. They're not a threat. They put you at ease. It's true that the Greek word was used, this word for meekness, it was used to describe a tamed wild animal, but that doesn't mean that everything about a tamed animal is meekness. I mean, a tamed animal might be brown. That doesn't mean meekness means brown. That's not how you define a word. What it means is they didn't use that word to describe their power. They used that word to describe the fact that that animal was not non-threatening. It was now mild and safe to be around. It was used to describe their gentleness. They weren't a threat. In Matthew 21:5, we see this word applied to Christ again. It says, see, your king comes to you gentle or meek, same word, and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. So there, the idea is, and that's not talking about his humility. Kings routinely rode on donkeys. That's not a lowly thing to do. But when a king rode on a donkey, what it meant was he's coming in peace. He's coming in peace. That's what the donkey signified. When they came to threaten war, they showed up on a war horse, big white steed. But the donkey communicated peace. So Jesus showed his gentleness, his meekness, by the fact that he showed up on a symbol that says, I'm no threat. I'm not here to threaten war. I'm here in peace. 1 Corinthians 4:21, Paul said to the Corinthians, what do you prefer? Am I to come to you with a rod or with love and a spirit of gentleness or meekness? Do you want me to come in a threatening posture or a non-threatening posture? That's what that means. So gentle people are non-threatening. They're safe. They're safe. They make you feel at ease when you're around them. They make you feel safe. Some people, you know, some people they're intimidating to be around. And other people, they just make you feel relaxed and comfortable. Very first time you meet them, you know, see people like this, right? Very first time you meet them, you just feel like you can just tell them anything, right? You don't have to put on any airs. You just be yourself around these folks because it doesn't matter. You know, it doesn't matter if you remembered to brush your hair or what you look like. Person just exudes this sense of, I accept you. I accept you. The real you. And you don't have to hide behind any facade like you do with some folks because you're safe. It doesn't matter if you say something dumb or if you expose some area of ignorance or if you're a klutz around. It's like they don't even see that stuff. And so they're safe to be around. They're comfortable to be around. Being gentle is the opposite of being intimidating, which is hard in our culture because all the heroes in our culture are intimidating. That's what our culture holds up as the goal. And so we all grow up trying to be the opposite of gentle. You know, all our teenage years. You know, the teenage years are basically devoted to two things. You're a teenager, you want, number one, to be taken seriously. And number two, you want to protect yourself from anybody laughing at you or making fun of you or looking down on you. And the way to accomplish those two things is coolness. You spend all your teen years trying to become cool. That's what teens do. You're not trying to set anybody at ease. You're trying to do the exact opposite of that. That coolness is the opposite of that. Because coolness, the whole effort of trying to be cool is you're trying to be cooler than everyone else. And because if you're not as cool as them, then you're not cool. And so you got to be cooler. But when you're cooler than everyone else, how does it make them feel? How does it feel to be around someone cooler than you? It's intimidating. Makes you feel like a dork. So our whole goal is to just, you know, as teenagers, to try and get so we're making everyone else feel like dorks. Now, that's not our stated purpose, but that's the effect of what we're doing when we're trying to become cool. And it's especially a problem for guys. It happens with girls, too, but especially guys. Because guys want to be tough, you know. There's something about becoming a man and you want to be strong. And so guys, you know, they just want this. It's like this Clint Eastwood character is just so intimidating. All he has to do is walk in a room and everyone starts shaking in fear, you know, just because he's so tough. The world says, blessed are the cool. Jesus said, no, blessed are the calming, the comforting, the soft. Blessed are those who are no threat to anybody. We just set people at ease.
Thank you for listening. We pray that in this series your life will be transformed by the soaring ethics, deep insights, and glorious promises of the Sermon on the Mount. And if it is, why not tell a friend about the podcast so they can grow too? If you have any questions, please don't hesitate to drop us a line. We'd love to hear from you. Just go to the treasuringgod.com website and click on Contact. There's also a giving tab on that site. We are crowdfunded ministry, so if you would like this podcast to continue, please consider supporting us with a tax-deductible gift. Just go to treasuringgod.com and click on Give. Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always and set your mind on things above, for Christ is seated at the right hand of God.